what I classify as the loner. So, so you prefer working out alone. You prefer no distractions that are holding you down. You prefer to plug in the sense that you plug into yourself.
I would definitely agree with that.
Okay.
100%.
All right. What's up, what's up, what's up? Welcome to the Remix My Fitness podcast, where we learn that there's more than one way to train, eat, and live. I'm your host, Jimmy Kim, and thank you so much for tuning in today. You just heard what you just heard was a little behind the scenes clip with me and my special guest today, Coach Mike Polka, who took the fitness DNA quiz, and it looks like I got it right again. So I'm still holding down that 100% record on the quiz with all the guests that come onto the show. So if you want to know what your fitness personality says about yourself and what your best activities you should focus on to crack your fitness DNA, go to remixmyfitness.com and take the quiz. Today I have a special guest. As I mentioned, it's Coach Mike Polka, and he's a strength and conditioning coach. And I know Mike from a gym called Blast Fitness here in Toronto, where I train with my team a couple evenings during the week. And I see Mike with his group of people, and he's training them. And I have to say, I'm always blown away by him. I can't help by looking over and seeing what he's doing, and you know, taking little mental notes of the things that he's showing his people, because he's amazing. He's an amazing coach, and I'm so happy to have him on the show with me today, because we are talking a bunch of different things. We're gonna be busting a few myths together when it comes to strength training, using weights and heavy weights. I throw Mike a curveball where I get him to program a routine for a made-up client to lose weight using his patented favorite system, strength training and conditioning. And we also talk about how to stay motivated after the initial high of getting started is worn off. You know what I'm talking about, right? You plan, maybe it's the weekend or the week, and you think, I'm gonna work my butt off and I'm gonna get into this amazing shape. And you program this 3-month workout, or you get with a coach and you think, okay, this is it, everything's gonna change. And everything does change for the first couple weeks. But after that first month passes, you're just kind of like, oh man, I don't know if I want to go work out anymore. Or you can't get your friend to come work out with you, so you don't work out. Or you just realize that when you're working with somebody, like a coach, you're like, okay, I don't think we're jiving together. I don't really like the activities that we're doing. You know what I'm talking about. So Mike and I talk about how to keep motivated during that time. And what's really cool is, what I'm really happy about is that Mike and I, we share the same philosophy around that. So you got to check it out. But before we get into all that with Mike, by the time this episode airs, I will have completed day one of the Get Your Ass Up and Workout Challenge that airs live on Facebook on our Team Remix group page. At least I hope that I got up, and I hope that I worked out with a few people. Now, this is a 5-day challenge where I'm getting up at 6:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I'm going through a full 20-minute bodyweight routine live. So if I screw up, there's only gonna be egg on my face, because I won't be able to see your faces. You guys are able to see me, but I can't see you. So I'm just mentioning it because it's still not too late to join. So if you're hearing this episode, hopefully it's on a Monday, or even if it's on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or even the Thursday, you can still join us for the Friday workout. So, to join, all you got to do is visit bit.ly/remixmyfitness, or you can search Remix My Fitness on Facebook, and I can tell you, I'll be the only one that shows up. But more than anything, if you're not sure if you want to work out or if you want to see what it looks like, you can come check it out. But I think some of the people, I know some of my friends are going to be joining in in the morning, just to see me look so haggard looking. I am not a morning person, but I'm trying to be a morning person because I got up a couple times in September, really early in the morning, and I can tell you my whole day changed. The outlook of my life, I feel like it changed by just getting up a couple hours early. But now I need some help. And I'm asking you, the listeners, I'm asking my team, Team Remix on Facebook, to help me out. And I was thinking, why do it alone when I have a whole team of people that can help me out? So come join me, work out with me, work out with other like-minded people, work out with other people who also hate getting up early in the morning, but they're looking to make a change for themselves. Like I said, bit.ly/remixmyfitness. And just one more little thing before we get to speak to Mike, which is, I just want to mention that I was having some tech difficulties with my mic when I was interviewing Mike. I had to actually switch to another headset, so I don't sound as crisp as usual, and I apologize for that, but Mike sounds amazing, and really, that's all that matters. So, let's get on with today's show. Here's Mike. I want to welcome to the show Mike Polka from NP Fit. Mike, what's going on, bro?
Hey, bro. It's going well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I know we talked off air. You actually did the fitness DNA quiz, and
yes, I did.
Yeah, I'll share the results a little bit later. But how'd you feel about that quiz?
It was good. It's definitely hit me on point with the results.
Yeah. Okay, great. So look, I want to share the listeners a little bit about yourself, which is, Mike, you are a you consider yourself a strength and conditioning coach, and you've been doing this for how long?
5 years now.
5 years. But you know what I found really interesting is when I was looking you up and doing a little bit of research on you, is you've actually been kind of almost in this world of fitness, strength training for a very long time. You were born in Poland, where I love strongman contests. My favorite, obviously, I think maybe many people, Magnuson.
Right. Yes. Yes.
The bomb. But also, you were around Mariusz Pudzianowski. Am I pronouncing
Pudzianowski? Yeah.
And Pudzianowski. Dude, anybody that doesn't know him, I think he holds the record, right, for the most wins.
Yeah. For sure. It's I think he has six or seven first place wins.
Yeah.
And a few second place wins as well.
I'll look it up, but I think he has the most. And what I always found out interesting about this guy was he didn't look like any of the other strongmen. He looked like a bodybuilder. He was a little bit smaller, a little bit more compact.
Yes, definitely.
He was crushing it.
Yeah, definitely a lot less body fat than most strongman competitors.
Yeah. Did you ever meet him?
Yeah, many times. My family hosted some strongman competitions that he was involved in, so I had a few opportunities to talk to and meet him.
Okay, give me an inside scoop. He's a nice guy.
Very nice guy.
Really?
Very nice
guy. Okay.
very cheerful.
Really? Okay. He seems super intense, though. I guess because I only see him in competition form, but he seems super intense.
Yeah, I think just in general, in that sport, you get more intense people, but the intensity comes through as cheerfulness, I think.
Okay, very cool. Now, Mike and I, we train out of the same facility, and this is how I met Mike. I saw you training some people, and you know, I rent out some space in the same spot, so we usually train around the same times. And one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show is because I think you're a fantastic coach. I see the way you give cues to people. I see the way you interact with your clients, and yeah, I think you do an amazing job. Because
thank you.
I'm sure you rent out at other places too, and you can kind of recognize who's a good coach and who maybe needs a little bit more seasoning to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know this or not. We never spoke about this, but Mike is so good that he is actually training with somebody that I used to train with, but now he trains him. So Mike's stolen some of my clients. So
sorry, brother.
No, it's good. It's good. It's all good. I mean, that shows you how good you are.
Mm.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about, right?
I'm not 100% right now, actually.
Oh no. Okay. Well, so Mike, you specialize in strength training, and from what I've seen from you with the people that you train with, you do a lot of barbell work. So you do, yes, like the basic lifts, like squats, chest presses, deadlifts,
things like that. Is that, do you think that's something that, is that something that you teach everybody? Would you say that's something like a basic of yours?
I teach that to most people. I wouldn't say everybody. There are special cases. I wouldn't say, there are certain cases where, that's not necessary or even viable, but as a general rule, I try to, yes, as a basic, start to see if you're able to do the basic moves with the barbell.
Okay. It's interesting because you use the barbell like I use the kettlebell. I don't know if you noticed, I use a lot of kettlebells.
Yes, I do.
That's how I broke into the industry.
And it's a very, very, very versatile and useful piece of equipment, the kettlebell as well.
Dude, I think it's the best because you could do all the traditional moves with the kettlebell, and then you can do a bunch of non-traditional moves with it.
And agreed.
For me personally, I think it's the best bang for your buck. Like with the dollars that you're going to spend, and if you're going to have a piece of equipment laying around, it's small, it's compact. I've been doing it for the last, say the last 8 years or so. And that's, when I had my studio, it was just a pure kettlebell studio.
Nice.
And then, yeah, I wanted to kind of break out and do some other things. But yeah, I love the bell. My house is littered with, I would say like 50 bells around here.
Nice. Somewhere. Yeah, definitely agrees. One of the fundamental things to learn in terms of strength training, I think, the use of kettlebells.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about strength training. And maybe you and I we can break a couple myths together. We can break a couple myths together, which is actually maybe most people don't think this is a myth, but I do. Which is you've trained a lot of male clients before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do when you sit down and you consult with like a male client, what do people usually say to you? What are some of the reasons why they want to work out?
Usually build some muscle,
and. What are maybe the top three areas they want to build muscle?
Muscle in the upper body. Yeah. I'd say chest development is a big portion of that.
Uh-huh. Chest, would you say bicep?
Bicep, tricep, abs. Yeah.
I never talk about legs, though. Right?
No, very rarely. although within the last couple of years, I found that slowly is increasing.
Okay, very cool. But when guys, like this is the myth that I want to say, and maybe this will break some people's like spirits a little bit, but don't you think that they come in with like a grandiose idea of, oh man, if I lift weights, I'm gonna kind of get jacked a little bit, like a little bit more jacked than they think that they're gonna get.
Definitely, kind of trying to helping you understand the realistic expectations of what you're going to get through this is part of my first little bit of training with a person usually. That involves kind of going through what your capabilities are and then adjusting for that with the results you will get.
Yeah. I find it funny. It's always almost every guy, it's chest, bicep, and a flatter stomach. They don't want to say abs. I think they find a little bit embarrassed to say abs, but but I know what they mean. Abs.
Defined midsection.
And maybe that's the glory yes. muscles, right? Nobody ever really says back. I find it's shoulders, chest, and abs. And back and legs are kind of non-existent. But that's what I tell guys. I tell guys, look, if you work out your back, that just makes you wider. Right.
Exactly. Gives you more of wider frame.
That gives you the shape when you I mean, I work a ton of my back all the time. And
likewise. Yeah. I'd spend like 70% on my back in terms of upper body focus, 70% on my back, 30% on my front muscles.
Mm-hmm. And tell me if you agree with this or not. People always will ask me like, man, you're a big guy. And I guess cause I'm also Asian, and I get a lot of Asian guys that will come up and tell me, man, you're like a big dude. What? Mm-hmm. And you have large arms. And I always tell them, I never work out arms. I never work out biceps or triceps. And they're like, why? And I said, because all my fundamental lifts, I'm working my biceps and triceps but I just find like I don't need to work out my arms.
I definitely agree with that. Like our direct arm movements, I do them here and there, but very rarely. Right? For fun, exactly. Yeah. It's like afterthought to my general program. You know, I usually don't program them in. It's usually if I have energy.
Yeah.
At the end of my workout, after I hit everything that I need to, I might do some.
Yeah, because if you're doing that like barbell row or if you're doing that chest press, those, I mean, you're working your biceps, you're working your triceps, yeah. Right?
For sure. And if you're doing them correctly, you actually producing a lot of overload in that region.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the other myth that I would love to break, and I'm sure people have heard this tons and tons of times, but it's I still find when I consult with people, it's the same thing that comes up all the time, which is particularly with women. So when you see a woman client, what's something mm-hmm. that she will tell you? Like, what are some of her top one or two goals that you often hear?
Oh, I want to tone up, but don't want to get bulk up at the same time.
Yeah, man, that's what I'm talking about.
That's a big one.
That's a big one, right? And
yeah,
you agree with me or not agree with me, but it is not possible for women to bulk up without, you know, maybe some special vitamins.
We'll
say, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a genetic. You have a certain frame that you're gonna build around, and for you to start looking like a Hulk, requires you to usually have a little bit extra help with some vitamins.
Yeah, yeah. And for those people, we're not talking about vitamins. We're talking about steroids.
That's
what we're talking about.
to be clear.
Just to be clear, and they also just don't have the testosterone to be able to build that kind of muscle,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, it's not to say that they can't get toned, they can't get ripped, right? We'll say, but it's one, I think, a lot harder, and two, wouldn't you say that women's lower body is much more developed than, let's say, a man's lower body?
Correct.
They almost have like the opposite things. And then their upper body strength is nowhere near the level of where their lower body strength is.
Yeah, correct. And that also would add to your inability to really to bulk up too much in the upper body versus your lower body, yeah. Giving you that Hulk look.
So what do you tell women when they say, "Oh, I don't want to lift this," or I'm too scared to, or I'm too worried to lift this weight because I'm worried I'm gonna bulk up. What do you usually tell them?
Well, real strength training isn't necessarily there to build your muscle. We can program for that, but if you stick with a fairly heavy weight at a low rep range, that more likely will improve your muscle's ability to contract versus develop more muscle size on you. So. In essence, what this will give you is a tighter looking muscle without really growing the muscle.
Mm-hmm. And I guess kind of maybe we can kind of clarify for everybody. How do you define strength training?
Oh, for me, strength training is an exercise modality that specializes in moving against some kind of resistance. So that could be barbell, kettlebell, or even gravity.
So like calisthenics.
Yeah. Okay. Push-up would be a strength movement, you know. And with the goal of either increasing the muscle's contraction abilities, improving anaerobic conditioning, or also growing muscle size, which doesn't necessarily have to happen.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think I get this question a lot, which is, Do you believe that there's a rep range that you should be in to be able to say, okay, this is strength training over, this is powerlifting over, this is where
the so no, in general, like, just general strength training is anything that you're any rep range. Well, okay, I would cap it maybe at around 20 reps. If the weight that you've selected, you could go beyond 20, I would call that more endurance based training.
Mm-hmm.
But anything within one rep to 20 reps, I consider a form of strength training.
Okay. And I guess before we move on to the next thing I want to ask you, do you have any other myths that you would say, like maybe you have this one or two, or maybe you have three things that you commonly run into that you would love to tell the audience?
Definitely one of them being the female's perception of training will give you bulk versus muscle tightness, but I'd also say One of the bigger ones is that strength training burns less calories than cardiovascular training.
It's a big one.
That's a big one. There's no way that a prolonged, even hour and a half bout of moderate cardiovascular training will burn more muscle than 1 hour of serious strength training.
And maybe you could tell the audience, maybe you could tell the audience why that is.
Just because of physics, you're moving heavier objects.
It's multi-joint.
Multi-joint movements. You're involving a lot more full body engagement at a higher level of engagement. But also just the changes that happen afterwards through the strength training, which improve your metabolic resting metabolic rate, mm-hmm. which prolonged cardiovascular training doesn't necessarily do. I'd say strength training is more like fine tuning and adding to your engine in terms of adding new technology, where cardiovascular training is more like just running the engine, burning gasoline.
Dude, I like that analogy. I'm gonna steal that from you.
Yeah. Problem.
Okay. Cool. So I'm a guy. I am a guy.
But Jimmy, what am I missing here?
I'm somebody that comes in and talks to you and says, I want to start strength training. Mm-hmm. I've never really done it before. What is one or two things that you would tell me, or what are one or two things I should be kind of looking into? Particularly, and I'll also add that I want to do strength training because I want to lose weight.
Okay.
What are just like one or two tips you can give me?
I'll give you a few. So first of all, heavy compound movements is what you want to focus your training around, meaning squats, bench presses, chin-ups, anything that requires you to engage your whole body while you're moving a certain portion of it. I usually say, specifically for weight loss, you don't want to go too high in reps, because that will more focus you on developing muscle size and not just improving your strength while burning as much calories. I'd say 5 reps and below, something to focus on. Now, you don't have to have all movements centering around that rep range, but the majority of the compound should be done fairly heavy at 5 reps and below. Another big thing is to, specifically if your weight loss is your goal while strength training, is having full body workouts versus split-based workouts, muscle group split-based workouts. So if you're looking at bodybuilding type workouts where you're doing one muscle group per workout, that's not as effective in terms of total calorie burn per training hour. And as well as you don't get as many post-workout benefits like a raised metabolic rate and just general resting metabolic rate.
Okay, so you say the top two tips that you have is go a little bit lower on the reps and
heavy weights.
Yeah, lower reps, heavy weights, and you would do a full body workouts over, let's say, a split, like a chest day, back day.
Yeah,
you know, those kinds of things.
I'd still like let's say you're working 2 times a week. I'd do one day a squat and a push and pull, horizontal push and pull for the upper body, and then a deadlift and a vertical push and pull for the upper body.
100%.
That way you're hitting your whole body, but you're also varying the type of movements you're doing.
I 100% agree with you on that one. So I have a little fun thing I want to do with you, and tell me if you want to do it with me, which is I'm going to put you on the spot. I have a I made up like a little case study of somebody.
Okay.
So let's see if we can kind of figure out like what kind of routine this would work for, whether this routine would work for somebody.
Okay.
Okay. So this guy, I'll say he's male. He's a male. He's 35 years old. He's 215 pounds. He's got a body fat percentage of 30% and above.
Mm-hmm.
He has some experience in lifting. Like maybe he did in high school. He's played sports. But obviously he's not in school anymore now, so, or hopefully not. Mm-hmm. And he works a steady like 9 to 5 job. He's got a family, you know, some kids, a wife. But he wants to lose weight. He's got this family vacation coming up in the next 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to look good for the family. He wants to tell people off and say, look, I lost all that weight. And also he wants to build males. I want to know, is that even possible? He's got 3 months. He wants to lose weight. He wants to build some size, and he wants to build and he wants to define those muscles. Would you say that's mm-hmm. possible for him?
I definitely think it's possible at some level. Now, I'd sit down and try to figure out his exact goals in terms of like weight loss and muscle size development, but definitely something achievable.
Okay, so let's say in 3 months, what would you say? A rough estimate. Let's say he was like that ideal person that you train with, and he listens to everything that you say in, mm-hmm. in 3 months. What would you say? Like how much weight do you think he'd be able to lose?
So in terms of body fat loss, I'd say if you're on an average, a good steady average would be 1 to 2 pounds per week of body fat loss. That's like an average. If you could push that all the way up to 5 pounds per week,
especially in the beginning when they're exactly if they're doing an overhaul of everything, I find that people usually lose weight a lot more quickly in the beginning.
Yeah, and that kind of leads me to the second portion where that 5 pound weight loss isn't necessarily maintainable for the whole 3 months, but it's definitely something that you could achieve for the first 2 months with consistency. But that's why I kind of lead people more towards you want more or less like a steady 2-3 pounds per week, because that is a lot more maintainable for the 3 months. So if you're looking at these numbers, anywhere from like 12 to even 40 pounds in the 3 month chunk wow. loss, and that all varies in terms of amount of training, sure. Nutritional adherence, and all that stuff.
But we're talking, this guy is the kind of guy that the people that you and I train with, like those really good guys that just listen to everything.
Yeah, so 30-40 pounds in the in terms of fat loss, not necessarily weight loss, because if you're gonna build the muscle mass, the weight might actually increase on the scale. Mm-hmm. But fat loss and muscle gain together, you know, and with like.
And would 30... you say those two probably happen a little bit more than the definition portion, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I think the definition portion takes a little. I would say. It takes a little bit longer, mm-hmm. right? Because you're going to lose the weight, the elasticity of the skin. It takes a little bit of while. It takes a little while.
Yeah. Right? Oh yeah, for sure. Like it, when that comes into play, your body needs to. Your body took a few years to get to that point, and the skin grew around that. It doesn't rebound as quickly as your ability to lose the muscle or lose the weight. Sorry.
Right. And. So we kind of have some people that we know that we train with like this who have jobs, who have kids, who have families. For him to let's say let's put out there like 30 pounds, right? He wants to lose 30 pounds. He's got 3 months, mm-hmm. and we won't worry about the nutrition portion right now. Let's say he's got his nutrition on point.
Okay.
How many times a week do you think realistically that he would have to train to be able to lose 30 pounds and to, you know, build a little bit of size?
I would steer them towards potentially 4 days a week of training in total. That means some strength training and high intensity interval training within that four day structure.
And would you in that one work, like would you say in the workouts you would yes. do strength training and you would do high intensity, or would a high intensity workout like a HIIT workout be on a separate day?
That's depending on the type of client and the type of workout they respond to best in terms of them pushing themselves more. Some people can't take a whole hour of HIIT training. Mm-hmm. So I program that, maybe 15 or 20 minutes at the end of the hour session of strength training. So let's say you do 40 minutes of strength training mm-hmm. and followed by 20 to 15 minutes of high intensity training.
Right.
And I find in general that could give you better results. For one, HIIT training doesn't necessarily have to be or isn't as effective within the 1 hour structure, because true HIIT training has to be fairly intense. So programming that at a smaller time frame at the end of a workout, you get more benefits within that that high intensity zone. But like I said, that all varies on the client. Some clients like to have that full hour of really hard HIIT training, and separating that from their main strength training is allows them to push harder.
Okay. So let's why don't we build this guy's workout for him, like his schedule. So now we know. Now we know he's got to train for an hour, right? Would you say?
Yeah.
He's an hour, and he's got to train 4 days a week.
Yeah.
So let's say on day one, what do you have him doing day one? What's something like base, like a couple basic exercises you have him do on day one?
For sure, like a squat or I'd start with squat or deadlift. So I program one lower body movement. And two upper body movements, as well as a core movement. Okay. So let's say day one, squat, bench, and row on the barbells.
Mm-hmm.
And some kind of plank variation for the core. Day two, I'd program him a deadlift and let's say an overhead press with a chin-up. Or if chin-ups are totally out of the scope of your practice, some kind of pull-down mm-hmm. movement. And then a different version of a core movement. So could be something resistance based, like I'm not sure if you're familiar with a Pavlov press.
Mm-hmm.
We could work on some flexion, so crunches work as well. Mm-hmm. I definitely make sure that some kind of resistance core movement is implemented there more so than movement based core movements. Sorry, too many movement words there. and then what I would do is I would repeat the 2 day structure, repeat it once per week. So you got, you do them 1, 2, you do a day one, day two, and then repeat day one and day two within that same week.
Mm. And how long do you think that workout would last him? Is he doing this for the next 3 months? The same kind of, would you say, the same core movements, just increasing the weight for the next 3 months? Or
yeah, we play with certain variables, let's say increasing the weight or going through different rep set structures. But yeah, I'd say sticking with the basic. We definitely, if the workouts become stale for the person, the adjusting for that is definitely key, because the motivation of the client is necessary for them to push themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're able to stick with the same movements and you're still getting good responses week by week, then there's no point of changing that around. And you're going to get better and better at these movements the more you practice them.
And what would you say is like, how would you define like a good response?
We track your circumference measurements as well as your body fat measurements, mm-hmm. and see the results week by week, as well as track your performance measurements, meaning your strength improvements. So let's say we're able to consistently add 10 pounds on the upper body movements or lower body movements week by week, and that 10 pound increase isn't decreasing your performance abilities, then there's no point of changing that around. You're still progressing well within that structure.
Okay. And you mentioned that you would generally get them to strength train for 40, 45 minutes, and then you finish off with like some sort of high interval training or some sort of quick aerobic
yeah.
Circuit. What would you say is like your go-to or your favorite one?
So sled work as well as a rower, those two pieces of equipment are my favorite in terms of getting a really high intensity load without a lot of technical thought.
Mm-hmm.
That, or I actually, funny you mentioned that earlier, kettlebell work. So kettlebell is a great piece of equipment for strength as well as high intensity interval.
Mm-hmm. Like, could you give us a workout for it? Like, how would you like do like a kettlebell swing for 20 seconds, and then you would do like a jump squat for 20 seconds? Like, what was your favorite one to do?
Yeah, that. So I'd have a series of movements that are mostly full body as well. Either with some rep ranges, let's say you're doing 10 reps to 20 reps of each movement, and then you do multiple rounds of the whole circuit for as quick as you can, or you could structure it. Let's say you have those same movements, same five movements, for example, and you have a time frame to do as many reps as you can, to do them as quickly as you can within that time frame with a good form, obviously. And then do a few rounds of that, Or you can simplify it and just have one piece of equipment, like a sled or a kettlebell. And this is, for example, if you have very little time, doing a structure of 20-second powerful movements followed by 10-second rest, and doing multiple rounds of that up to, like, let's say 16 rounds. That's obviously at the high end. Lower end would be 8 rounds of that. And just the structure of 20 seconds of absolute effort with 10 seconds of rest, which is very little rest, and you don't recover round by round. What actually happens is the intensity and the demand on your body is increasing round by round because of that short break. It is a great
All right. So I think that gives us a good framework for this 35-year-old male. So get strength training in 4 days a week. It'll be an hour-long session, about 45 minutes dedicated to doing one lower body movement and two upper body movements, did you say?
Yeah,
and correct. What would you say, like, the rep counts are for that?
So I would go anywhere between 3 and 5 or 3 and 6, starting probably at a higher end, around 6, and then just kind of going down as the months go by. Mm-hmm. That's one way of doing it. But in terms of progressing the reps, but I would usually stick with 6 and below reps.
Okay. And I'm sure you run into this, but, you know, the motivation is so high in that first month, and, you know, everyone wants to make that change, and they almost do almost a crazy overhaul of their food, their diet, their workout, and they arrange all these things. But sometimes their motivation starts to wane around the second month, and particularly, let's say, the third month, because
for sure. You
know, life happens, right? We're like, sure. I always like to say, like, fitness is part of our lives, but fitness isn't our life. We're not bodybuilders. We're not, you know, fitness models. Even for me, I do this as a career, and I love what I do, but I also have a life outside of here, and I also have other things that come up that I have no control over, right? My kids get sick,
sure.
Or, you know, if I have to take a quick trip overseas or something like that.
Yeah, life happens.
Life happens, right? So
yeah, yeah.
What do you tell somebody like this, who, you know, the first month he's so motivated, and then the second month and the third month you can see that he's just not going there.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's definitely something that's common. Anybody struggles to maintain consistency within training. And I think that's part of the fitness journey. You have to expect is some ups and downs, and not to get yourself beat up too much when you have a down, and figure out skills to rebound to the consistency quicker. Now, there are certain tools I think that are necessary to kind of maintain the goal at the forefront of your thoughts. So having some kind of clear, measurable goals is one of the essential things I find. So if you're just coming into the training with the thought of, okay, I just want to look a little bit better, or I want to lose a little bit of weight, that's not enough information for me to be comfortable with your adherence to the programming. I'd want to be more specific in terms of, like, let's say we're gonna lose 20 pounds of body fat, or increase 20 pounds on your bench press within a set time frame. So adding to that, I think another thing that's important is to track weekly or even every session, you know, in terms of tracking your workout progress, but as well as if fat loss is your one of your goals, tracking your weight, tracking your circumference measurements. That definitely gives you a layer of accountability on a weekly basis. And a third thing I would say, just having realistic goals as well. Some people want some things they're not ready for, so just counseling a little bit beforehand in terms of what you want to achieve and whether that's realistic within the time frame that you want to achieve it.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying is really important. Having, like, specific goals, because people will just come in and they will say, well, I want to build more size. And I always tell them, like, how much size? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, not and they'll say not like the guys in the magazine. Not like one of those guys, but I want to bulk up a little bit. And
what does that mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure I don't sound like a nice guy. Oh, I don't know how I sound when I say this, or maybe they think I sound ridiculous, but I tell them like how much size or how much weight exactly. Like give me that exact number. And when they tell me, and when they kind of sit there and they've kind of figure out what would be enough for them, then I would say, why do you want to do that? Mm-hmm. What for what reason? And they say to look good. And I say to look good for who? Mm-hmm. And that and they'll take a second for them to think, and they'll, well, for me. And the conversation kind of goes back and forth like this, where and then I'll say, for you, you don't feel like you look good now. Like you don't feel like you feel confident now, right? Because that is the main reason why men will probably work out or what have the idea that they need to work out, because they want to build confidence.
Right.
To get girls or to get a job or whatever it is. And I'm 50-50 on it. To build confidence through your looks and through your aesthetics is, I understand that definitely will give you like a boost, but you definitely should be like a confident person now. You know, nothing changes. Like I give the example, I thought if I lost a bunch of weight, I used to be over 270 pounds myself. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, if I lose this weight, then everything will change for me. My life will change. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed, other than I went into the business of fitness. But I still I'm still insecure about a lot of the same things that I was insecure about before. Right. So it's something that you need to change now.
Yeah. No, I think you're hitting it on the right spot. Just looking better through your training isn't going to give you the confidence, but I do believe that training can give you confidence in a sense that if you're orienting your training around tackling certain issues that you're not good at and having to overcome that could definitely generate some kind of confidence boosting. But to think that this is just looking better is going to change your life in terms of confidence isn't accurate.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, because my wife and I we used to do a lot of obstacle courses together. The very first one we did was the second or third one we did was a Tough Mudder, and it has a ramp that goes up. And we went as a group, and she didn't want to do it. She's like, "No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to get hurt, or I don't feel confident." And I thought it was kind of crazy, because we trained really hard for it. We knew that this ramp was coming up, so why wouldn't you do it? And it took a lot of convincing. We were all up there on the ramp. We're like, "We're not leaving until you come until you come up." And she ran up the ramp. She got up, and I think she failed about like 10 times. And she's like, "Oh." And the 11th or 12th time, she got up. She was able to get up. And we went down, and the first thing she said to me was, "I can't believe I did it."
Nice.
"I can't believe I did it. I feel like I can do anything now."
Exactly. So yeah, you definitely hit on that. Overcoming fears, overcoming struggle. That's the biggest confidence booster in training, I find. Not necessarily the better look or
exactly. You know. Okay. Well, look, we're gonna close out the show here a little bit, and I don't I always leave this an option for people, which is to ask me a question. So we talk fitness, we talk life on the show, we talk a little bit about business as well. So I want to know, do you have any questions for me about your own personal fitness or entrepreneurship?
For sure. I know it's a commonly asked question. I'm sure you've heard it many times, but I definitely respect you as an entrepreneur and would want your advice on that. So tell me, what are the biggest qualities you find are necessary for to be an entrepreneur or to run your own business?
The biggest qualities. You know what? Nobody really asked me this question.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think maybe they're afraid to hear the answer, which is, I don't think everybody's made out to be an entrepreneur, because this is I think they are in love with the idea of what an entrepreneur life is like, right? Like nobody's your boss. You're your own boss. You have the ability to make as much money as you want, right? And I'm sure you see it with yourself. The harder you work, the bigger your business grows, right?
Yes.
And there are weeks and probably maybe months where you might go by and nothing happens because you did nothing, right? And it's so volatile that it's not for everybody. Like you have to be willing to accept a lot of failure. And maybe that's why I really enjoy the fitness business. I've had many other businesses before that have been profitable, that helped me pay for school, things like that. But I think because in fitness we fail so much, right? Mm-hmm. We almost fail. We go to failure. Mm-hmm. We have an idea that what that feels like. That I love it. I love it when I see other fitness professionals in the business who make it. I'll use my parents as an example because they always talk about now that they don't understand why people are into businesses. They've been small business owners for the last 40 years. They've had many different businesses, you know, over the last 40 years, and they don't get it. They don't get it because the amount of hours that they had to put in for their business was ridiculous. And they own convenience stores, they own restaurants, they own franchises and things like that. And I know those don't sound like glorious jobs or glorious careers, but they were putting in 12, 14-hour days. We are fitness coaches. Yes, we are training people, let's say, anywhere between 4 to 8 hours in a day. But you can't say that we're not doing more work when we go home, right? There's bookkeeping that needs to be done. There's websites that need to be regenerated, redone. There's, you know, we have to go and interact with people. Those things all add up, right? And we do that 7 days a week. Like, business has to be your life.
Yes.
Your life 24/7. And I don't think some people are ready for that.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And it's definitely something that is still taking me a while to adjust to, but it's too glorified being a personal trainer or owning your own business, I think.
Yeah, you know, people say, well, you know, we pay you this money and you just stand there and you look at us, right? And it's when I hear that from people, it gets me mad. Almost, I guess, like, I feel like a little disrespected, right? Because it's like, you know, I'm a professional just as anybody else, and it may look like it's standing there, but you're gonna love me when that bar is about to come down on your head, and I'm there to catch it for you, right? You know, things like that. And you know, there's
people don't realize how much research you put into just developing their programs,
Exactly, developing the program to have to travel to someone's house, right? You know, we get paid to most. I would say most trainers get paid for that hour of their time, right? But the people that are training with you, they don't think about that time that you need to go travel to see them and travel to have to go, you know, to go to the next spot, right? Yeah, I think that, like, I'm for me, the reason why I worked at the government for 11 years before I left to do this. And I would say the number one reason why I left was because for me, it was I really didn't like someone telling me what to do. Tell me what time to come in, what time I can have break, what time I can have lunch, when I can take my vacations, things like that, right?
Yeah.
And that was the main sticking point for me. My main goal was like, okay, so what are some other things I can do? Oh, I guess I'll have to go back to do entrepreneurship. And still to this day, I wouldn't do anything else because I know that thing would bother me so much. And yeah, it's funny because now I'm so busy throughout the day. I'm either training clients or developing programs or working on my site or working on this podcast too. I have less time for myself, but it makes me happy.
I'd say it's more rewarding, right?
It's more rewarding for me. I would say the biggest thing that I was jealous of was when I was working at the government, there were people there who loved their job and who were great at it. But more than anything, they loved it. They loved being there. They appreciated it. And I wanted that feeling. I wanted what they had. And I realized that I couldn't do that working for somebody, working for an organization. So that was my thing. So I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Yeah, no, for sure. I definitely agree with all the points you made there. It's a commitment, but it's a very rewarding commitment.
Yeah. And look, just because you're an entrepreneur now doesn't mean that you can't work for somebody later. Like, that for me, that door is open. I think we get stuck into the idea and almost maybe embarrassed to tell people if it doesn't make it. Like, this is my fourth time trying to make this business work, and the fourth time is, I guess the fourth time was the charm, because the other three times you know, I tried, it didn't work. I failed three other times with just this fitness business alone, right? And every time I would tell, you know, you go out there, you promote, like, man, I, you know, I have this, I'm a fitness coach, you know, hire me and this and that. You tell everybody, and then it doesn't work out. You gotta, you close shop, and it's almost, it's very embarrassing, right? And then you go out there, and again, you're like, hey, I'm back as a fitness coach, but now I'm doing this, right? And yeah,
takes a lot of resilience, I'd say.
Tons of resilience, right?
And but that's, I think that's where the training is very useful for 100%. That, because that's in essence what you're doing in the gym with your training. You challenge yourself, you have some failures, but you get back on the horse.
Dude, I've learned so much from just training myself. I love to run. I love to weight train, and I love to do jiu-jitsu. And just so happens, those three things are the three things that I will constantly see failure in, and I will constantly see improvements in, as long as I keep working at it. And I see no difference in our entrepreneurship.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, Mike, I want to close off the show with, and I ask this of all my guests, and you being a fitness professional yourself, which is, I would love to ask you, if you can give one piece of advice to anyone that is looking to start his or her fitness journey, or maybe is a little bit stuck right now, what would you tell them? Just one thing.
Don't get discouraged by failure. Failure is part of the process. And I know you wanted one thing, but I think those two things are kind of joined together. Make sure you find something that you have fun with in terms of fitness, because the failure with something that you have fun is a lot easier to take than failure with something that you just that you're just hating.
Dude, that fun part is something that I hone down on every show, on every person. But isn't it, didn't you find that is the hardest part to kind of convey that message to people?
Yeah, right? just like fitness can be so fun.
It can be so fun. And this is why, for me, this is why I call my company Remix My Fitness, because I don't want people to get stuck thinking like, okay, look, the only way for me to lose weight is to do push-ups and squats. Yeah. You could do anything else. Like, you could lose weight dancing. You could lose weight playing basketball. And I bet you those things. Yeah, those. I bet you those things could be more fun for you. Because as I always close out the show, you know, if it's fun for you, you're gonna do it more often. If it's not fun for you, you're gonna be like, oh, you know, I don't want to do that after work. And I love that you have also hit that point as well, because I think it's something that's so overlooked, the fun factor.
Yeah.
Fun factor. And like with business, right? Like I find entrepreneurship, I find that so fun. And if I could go back and redo that answer, it would be that you have to absolutely enjoy doing it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay. Well, Mike, I appreciate coming on the show. I think we're getting a lot of positive feedback from this. So hopefully if I invite you again, you'll accept the offer, or you'll by that time you'll already be like too big to speak to
no.
me.
No. I also have time for you, Jimmy.
I appreciate it, Mike. I appreciate it. Well, look, but I'll let you go, and yeah, I look forward to seeing you I'll probably see you next week during training.
Awesome. Sounds good, man. See you around.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
See you later.
Oh, Mike. Actually,
yes.
You know what? Why don't you tell the people where can they link you? What's your site?
And Instagram, right. And that so, kind of stuff. You guys could check me out on my social media, both for Instagram and Facebook. It's under MP Fit Official. And if you guys want to check out my website, it's mpfit.ca.
mpfit.ca. And can anybody email you, or?
Yeah. So my email is at mike@mpfit.ca. All that could be, you can find that on my social media or on my website.
Yeah. And I'll also have that I'll have all the links to that for the show notes. And if you want to see a guy that's like jacked, a Polish guy that's jacked, you gotta go check Mike out on Instagram.
Thanks, brother.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Take care.
Okay. Talk to you. And that's it. That's another episode in Mike. I want to thank Coach Mike for coming on the show, sharing his knowledge, sharing his wisdom. As I mentioned, I'm gonna have Mike's contact on my show notes page, so you just got to visit remixmyfitness.com/
podcast. We get his Instagram, you get his email, you get his website, and I'm going to put everything up all neatly together, the strength training program that we had for that made-up client, that 35-year-old male client, just kind of a little bit of a template about what Mike mentioned, his the two-day split, the HIIT routine, the high-intensity routine that Mike recommended. I'll put that all neatly together and post that on the site for you to check out. So visit remixmyfitness.com/podcast. I hope you take me up on the offer and work out with me at 6:15 in the morning, live on Facebook. And it's going on until now, till Friday. So as I always mention, I'll be back next week with another episode. So until then, set some goals. Go challenge yourself. But most importantly, like I say, you gotta go out and have some fun. Until next time, peace.